Today we look at the third and the last of the disciplines that have traditionally been emphasized in the church during the period of Lent. We've looked at prayer and fasting. Today we look at the subject of giving. With Good Friday just a couple of weeks away, this of course is very relevant as we think about all that Jesus gave for us and for the world in his death on the cross for us. In the words that we heard in the reading, rich as he was, Christ made himself poor for our sake in order to make us rich by means of his poverty. The topic of giving is also a very relevant one in these days of crisis that we are living through. The events of these days have brought to the fore two very contrasting reactions in people. The one is the grabbing and grasping of some people have done, stockpiling supplies. But on the other hand, there are more and more stories that are coming out of people giving generously of themselves in different ways. Just as the war saw great acts of sacrifice, this too is the case in this world war that is raging at present. Thankfully, this time around, everyone is on the same side. Speaking of war, I'm reminded of the words of Winston Churchill when he said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." It's my hope, as I'm sure it is the hope of you and of many, that our world will come out on the other side of this dark tunnel, more caring, more tolerant, more united. When the subject of giving is mentioned, we tend to think of it in the narrow sense of the giving of our money, and that certainly is an important aspect. It's also often a good indicator of our general level of generosity. But giving, in essence, is not so much about specific acts of giving, but rather about the inner attitude of our hearts. That's where it starts or fails to start. We give first and foremost because God has given, and we are made in the image of that giving, generous and gracious God. From the very beginning, we see a God who gives us a creation of such marvelous beauty and wonder, who gives us each life, not just physical life, but also spiritual life through Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave humanity this earth, and ultimately he gave his Son so that we might have life through him. And we are created in the image of this giving God. That should be our default nature. John says in his letter, we love because God first loved us. It's equally true to say that we give because God has first given to us. Our first act of giving should be the giving of ourselves back to God. We heard in our reading, first they gave themselves to the Lord. I think that is happening afresh during these days. People are turning anew to God, maybe because of the need that people feel for God in these days. Maybe also because of having more time to think about deeper issues. I saw this post on social media. No movies, no concerts, no sporting events, no restaurants, no social gatherings. Limited workload. Now that I've cleared your schedule, can we talk? Signed, God. There's that saying, man's extremity is God's opportunity. Humanity's extreme need is God's opportunity. God's opportunity to take center stage as he always should. The thought has struck me that our experience at present is a bit like a death. I hope I'm not being overdramatic. But as in death, we have to let go of all that we know and love. In a much smaller, but in a similar way, we are having to let go of many things. All we really have is our homes that we are being urged to stay in. In death, when we leave all behind in this world, what we hope for is a home, isn't it? A home to which we can go. Do we have the assurance of that home with our Heavenly Father? Is our experience at present maybe nudging us to think more about those issues? First, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then, says Paul, by God's grace, they gave themselves to us as well. They displayed their devotion to the Lord by giving themselves to Paul and his companions and the Christians in Jerusalem who they would be helping through the collections that had been made. But they didn't just give their money. They gave of themselves their time, their energy, their prayers, their friendship, and their love. And these days are calling us, aren't they, like them, to give ourselves anew to others. We are limited in what we can do and give because of social distancing. But there are still ways to reach out in love and care. And we have seen that happening in so many ways. We have seen it in the people in the front line, in the NHS and other services. I think two of the thousands that have come forth in their droves in different to volunteer in different ways, shopping for neighbours, delivering medicines, phoning to check up on people who are very lonely or not well. Many people are praying more than ever, and that's a vital contribution that we can make as people of faith. The most extreme expression of generous self-giving that I have come across is that of a Catholic priest in Italy, Father Giuseppe Berardelli. He contracted the virus, so his parishioners brought him a ventilator to use in hospital. But he donated it to a younger person who was battling with the illness, somebody he didn't even know. And Father Giuseppe died as a result. We are unlikely to be called on to make such a sacrifice, but we may need to be doing more than we are as the crisis worsens. One of the most pressing social needs at this time is the plight of those who have lost their means of income. The government has made some bold moves to try and alleviate the problem, but some self-employed people might not be able to wait till June when those funds are due to be distributed. Others may not qualify for assistance. Is it not time maybe to be thinking about assistance that we as individuals and as a church can provide? Maybe we're able to help a needy person or family with finance or with groceries. If not a gift, maybe a loan. Are there things that we can be doing as a church by channeling contributions perhaps to people in need or to organizations on the front line of relief efforts? Maybe you'd like to let me or one of the leaders know if there are thoughts and comments that you have. Humanity's extremity is God's opportunity. It's also the church's opportunity to display something of the generosity of our Lord Jesus. Quoting Churchill again, after World War II, he reflected and said, "Never let a good crisis go to waste." In the Bible in the Year readings on Friday, when I was preparing this message, there was this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 15. If there are poor among you, do not be selfish or greedy towards them, but freely give to them and freely lend whatever they need. And then in the New Testament reading in the Gospel of Luke chapter 3 were these words of John the Baptist. If you have two shirts, share with a person who doesn't have one. If you have food, share that also. On the night before his death, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples. I want to close with this paragraph that I read in an online article of a South African journalist. He wrote, "We have the power to not let this pandemic define our worst selves, but rather to define our best selves. We have an opportunity in the shadow of the threat to transcend egocentricity and to start to behave in a more socially minded manner, to care for those that cannot care for themselves, and to demonstrate courage. COVID-19 can be humanity's finest hour. How much more for us as the representatives on this earth of the God who loved the world so much that he gave his only son to rescue you and me. Amen.